Well, good morning, church. Thank you for coming out on this crisp morning. Appreciate it very much. Well, this is not crisp if you live in northern Minnesota, but it's crisp for you and I. I appreciate you coming this morning. Welcome to all of our visitors. If you're visiting with us for the first time or even the first time in a long time, we welcome you. Thank you so much for being here, and I pray that you'll have an up-close personal experience with the Lord as we worship this morning. I want to, just by way of announcements, you'll see that in your bulletin. If you like soup, we are the place that you need to be at 4 o'clock. Even if you don't like soup, come and be with us at 4 o'clock anyway in the fellowship hall. We're going to have a wonderful time of fellowship over there. Although your bulletin does list an evening service, there will not be an evening service. We're going to do that with our super supper and the fellowship time that we have over there for a good cause. So we really appreciate you being here this morning. And I hope and pray that it will be a really wonderful experience for you. There's in the bulletin, there's a little connection card there. If you would fill that out, if you're visiting with us, or if you have prayer concerns that you'd like to bring before the church, we would be happy to pray over those for you. Irregardless, hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day in God's house.
Good morning, everyone. Let's continue this worship service by standing and singing hymn number 15.
Come, thy fount of every blessing, turn my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy ever ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise.
Instruments play. This is our worship time that we pray. And if you would like to come up front along with the deacons, please feel free to come up front and let's just talk to the Lord this morning and anticipate something special going to happen today. So if you will, if the deacons will come forward and anybody else that would like to come up and pray, please feel free to do so at this time.
Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity each and every one of us have today to come into your house, Lord, to worship you. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, now I'd like to lift up our military, all branches, Lord, keep them out of harm's way. Lord, that the many blessings that you put upon us each day, each week, Lord. Lord, I just thank you and praise you in your name. Amen.
Let's all stand again and let's sing a little praise song that most everybody knows, 10,000 Reasons. Everybody ought to have at least 10,000 reasons why we love the Lord today, correct? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. All your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name.
Oh, my soul, worship His holy name.
Standing, please, for prayer.
Gracious and kind, loving Heavenly Father, we do come into your house this morning for one purpose, and that is to worship, honor, and praise you. I thank you for this time when we can sing praises unto you through the choir and the congregation, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that each one prepared their hearts before service and then prior to service, that we're ready to worship and serve you. That everything we do would honor and glorify you, and that we can truly come into this place and worship you. For Lord, you said we have to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we know that your word says if two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in our midst. So Lord, we know you're here. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just fill each one of us with that time of worship. And as we continue in song and the pastor preaches, that, Lord, he will tell us the word that God has given him, and that we be obedient and faithful, and be willing to do whatever the Holy Spirit calls upon us. But, Lord, we each participate now in worship by giving back a portion of what you blessed us with, Lord. You use this to your purpose. The word can be spread throughout the world, and also the operation of this church, so that we have a facility like this to come in and worship you. So again, everything that we say and do today would bring honor and glory to you, and we just praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Let's again, everybody stand and sing hymn number 533. He lives, 533.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is willing, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to implore. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I'll never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. And then the days of weary will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart.
On the last now, rejoice, rejoice,
risen, lift up your voice and sing.
Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King.
The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind.
He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Amen. Good singing this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. Before Brother Kenny comes, Randy's going to sing for us.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now, I'm losing. Bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be all right. But right now, oh right now, I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. What will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? Well, I know you're able and I know you can reach through the fire, Lord, with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. A good thing, a little faith is all I have right now. but God, if you choose to make mountains immovable, Lord, give me the strength to be able to say, it is well with my soul. I know you're able and I know you can reach through the fire, Lord, with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. Oh, I know the sorrows and I know the hurt will soon go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. You've been faithful, you've been good all my days. Jesus, I will cling to you, Lord, come what may. I know you're able, Jesus. I know you can. And I know you can reach through the fire, Lord, with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. Oh, I know the sorrows and I know the hurt will soon go away, Lord. You just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know you're able, Jesus. I know you can reach through the fire, Lord, with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, Jesus, I understand. For my hope is in you alone, Lord. You alone. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Had a friend of mine tell me one time they had a professor in college, looked at his class one day and he said, you know what? He said, the Lord Jesus didn't promise you a smooth flight, but he did promise you a safe landing. And that song speaks volumes about that. It's great to look out and see you here today. If you brought a Bible with you or if you need one, there should be one in the pew there in front of you. I'm going to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at a couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 5. And while you're turning there, we want to remind you again that I am in mid-series here on the dynamics of corporate worship and how we can do that together. And as you're looking, I need to come down here and get something I forgot. I would think it was somebody else if I didn't forget something. Ephesians chapter 5, look at two verses for me, 19 and 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, we're here, Father, again with this wonderful privilege of corporate worship. And God, I thank you for that which has already taken place. Fellowship time together, Father. Sweet, quiet moments of prayer and reflection. Singing songs of the faith, Lord, praising you and thanking you for all that you are and all that you do. God, it is all part of what we get to do as your children. And Father, as we continue to talk about worship over the next several weeks as well, My prayer is, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to an even greater understanding. Lord, I thank you for that which you have given me over the last several weeks, how you've opened my heart and my mind to things that I'd never really considered before at this level. So, Father, I pray several things. I pray that all of the distractions, Lord, that normally come with this experience we call worship, Lord, I pray that you would keep them away. Bind to Satan because you can. Help us, Lord, to listen closely and carefully, not only with our minds, but with our hearts as well, as we soak up those things that comes from your word. And Father, I pray for each one in this building, Lord, a really, really special, up close and personal worship experience. And when we leave this place today, Lord, we can truly say it's been great to be in the house of the Lord. It's been great to be with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And thanking our Lord for this sweet and precious time together. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all you are and all you do. Lord, I pray that you would speak to me and speak through me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, and that's important. He's talking to Christians, believers, those folks that have made up the church at Ephesus, and he's been giving them some really, really clear instructions. And when it gets down to the place where he wants to spend a couple of moments here to talk about singing and the opportunity to worship and the things that come with those processes together. Last week we talked a little bit about the purpose of singing in the corporate worship experience and how valuable that is and how diverse it can be. And the fact that we came to the conclusion that last week is that we must be very careful that we worship the God of the music and not just the music itself. Every one of us have different concerns and different desires and different talents and different, our ears are not all the same when it comes to what we like and don't like. And the thing about it is that when we understand all of those things, the giving and the praying and the singing and the preaching and all the processes that we hold together as worship, we begin to realize that the object of our worship is truly Jesus Christ, who's definitely worthy of that worship, whether we're singing to him or praying or fellowshipping with his people. And those are the things that I'm wanting to share. So Paul is speaking to the church here, and he basically says, you know, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I looked up those words, and they're not very much different from one another. You can almost use them interchangeably there. It just speaks of a wider variety of different types of singing, psalms, and a lot of what we do nowadays is also the singing of psalms. Just put to music many of the praise choruses that you will hear in the future, and the ones that we are even doing now. If you look closely into the Word of God in the book of Psalms, you find out that many of these things are nothing more than psalms that are actually put to music. Wonderful things there in that relationship. Hymns, which we thoroughly enjoy, that speaks some things of traditional things that we've sung even since I was a kid, and I love them. Now, there's great theology there in spiritual songs. And the part that I love about the verse more than anything else, it says, singing and making melody in your heart. Singing from your heart, singing from a position of gratefulness, from a position of thankfulness, a position of joy and appreciation for what God has done in us and for us and through us. Being able to express that joy, being able to express that thankfulness through the singing. And I believe that Paul is making it very pointed here to the folks. The last phrase is probably the most important, you know, singing melody in your heart to the Lord. All of our worship, my friends, all of it is designed to be unto the Lord. That's what makes it special. He is the goal of our worship. He is the object of our worship. And he's certainly worthy, and we talked about that before already. So Paul is basically helping the folks to understand, you know, part about the purpose. It's focusing in on the purpose of music and worship. It's just one aspect. You know, so he gives them this verses, and it talks about how important it is to follow the biblical pattern for music and worship. And we could go on and on and on and on. You could start back in the Old Testament and work your way through many of the worship experiences of the children of God involved worship through music. different styles, different types of music. They found a way to express what was inside of them through their voice. And that's the beautiful part about music and worship. It allows you and I to express through the beautiful opportunity to sing some of the ways that we think and that we feel about our Lord and Savior. It's our way of saying to Him through song, "You are incredibly valuable. You are definitely worthy of our worship. I want to sing and praise Your name. I want to thank You from the bottom of my heart for all that You are, for all that You do." And it becomes beautiful there. And that's the pattern that we wind up with from the Scripture. And it's the challenge is finding a process where we can clearly and forthrightly do that. Declare worship there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 13 through 18 also have an interesting thing about worship. And also Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, which I've used before. But I'll read it for you again because it says much the same thing. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So we have scriptural reference that our singing involves giving Him praise. It involves recognizing His value. It involves singing with gratefulness, singing with no matter what we do in word or deed. It says to do everything under the Lord Jesus Christ for His glory, obviously, and for our growth. So as we begin to continue on looking at how music fits into our worship experience, this is kind of one of the first steps for us to understand finding our purpose in music, following the biblical pattern for doing that, and then finding and developing a creative process for clearly understanding how that's supposed to be done. And Ephesians does a real good job at that. Even chapter 4, which we don't have time to talk about much this morning, also talks about that. I want to make you clear, all of the works of ministry, every one of them, they are important to our Heavenly Father. Whatever you do, whatever your giftedness is, whatever your passion is that's been birthed in you by the Spirit of God, whatever you give corporately to the church, whether it's this one or some other one, the thing about it is every one of those things is important to our Heavenly Father. We've been given instructions in chapter 5 about walking in the Spirit and applying that particular Spirit leading us to our daily behavior. Verses 15 through 20 talks about how, you know, not to be overcome by drinking of wine to excess, but he applies that more to the Spirit and about principles involved in worshiping God in spirit and truth and doing that with a passion, being full of the Spirit of God, that we would not be able to not express it. It's almost like saying, you know, have you ever had something that you wanted to share so badly and you couldn't wait to get it out because it was just consuming you on the inside, like an announcement that you had to make or something you might have had to tell your spouse or your children, or the children especially can't hardly hold it in, some wonderful great news that's came your way. It consumes you from the inside and you can't hardly wait to get that out. That's the feeling that I get when I read and I talk about the idea of expressing my worship to the Lord through music. It's a matter of being able to say, you know, Lord, You've been so incredibly good to me. You hear my prayers. You answer my prayers. I know that I can come to You and tell You anything that I need to tell You or want to tell You, and I know that You're going to hear that. I know that You're in my corner. I know because of Your word says You are ever interceding at the right hand of the Father for those that belong to You. I realize that God knows my prayers before I pray them. Oftentimes the answer to my prayer is being worked out before I ever voice that prayer to God. We have a Savior who understands us. We have a Savior who loves us. We have a Savior who believes in us. We have that opportunity. So as we begin to take a look at this, what ran through my mind, Randy, while you were singing that song, is oftentimes I've come to church and I've been in that dark side. life hasn't been so much fun. The events surrounding the other 23 and a half hours or 22 and a half hours of my day before and after I come to the church experience wasn't a lot of fun. You look up and sometimes you wonder, am I going to survive all this? We watch our TV, we read our newspapers, we look around, and you wonder what kind of a crazy world we live in, how messed up it is. You wonder if God still really has control of it. This book says he does, so I believe it. But in our own personal lives, things don't go our way a lot of times. We wound up being misunderstood and misrepresented, or we wind up being hurt or sick. Sometimes that's at the hands of somebody else. We have relationship issues. We have financial issues. We have health issues. And we begin to wonder sometimes, is there any place, is there any time that I can stop, that I can hit the pause button? Is there anything that I can do in my life that gives me some pause, so to speak? Is there any experience known to man where I can come and just disconnect from what's going on in my life for just a few minutes? Yes, there is. And I believe it's called worship. I shared this bits and pieces of this with you last week. How many times I've thought about everything except worship when I came to church. I want to be transparent and real before you all. As your pastor, I put my pants on the same way you guys do. I live in the same world that you live in. I understand some of the things that you go through. And I think that's part of the deep level conviction that's been going on in my life about teaching and preaching about worship and maybe changing it up a little bit and taking a good closer look. And the deeper I get into God's word, the more I realize that the children of Israel and the early Christians really put a high priority on spending some time to tell the Lord how much they cared about him, how much they loved him, how much they wanted to sing unto him, how much they wanted to pray unto him, how much they wanted to give unto him. You look at the book of Acts in the early chapters, and you see how much the early church gave. Each one gave in a special, special way. And I thought, how do you communicate the value of something like that? Sometimes we take it for granted. I've sat through a lot of services wondering what I was going to do on Monday morning. Sat through a number of services wondering if my favorite team was going to win their football game. What time it came on and would I be there to watch it? How well they would do. How I'm going to accomplish getting both mowers that won't run ready to go to work on Monday morning. And I just want to be real with you for a second. It's so easy to step in this building or any other building and go through what we might think of on the surface as a genuine and a real worship experience, when in reality, if we're not really careful, the devil will have us just going through the motions and we'll leave the same way we came. And I don't mind telling you folks, I'm bothered by that because Kenny's done that a lot in his life. I've been in church since I was a little bitty guy. I was made to go. It's like the one guy said, he said, I had a drug problem when I was a kid. He said, my father and my mother drug me to church every week. And he said, I didn't like it, not even a little bit. He said, but in reality, if you stop and think about it a little bit, we're better off for it, aren't we? I want us to get to the place as a church that this is an absolute privilege, not just a responsibility. And as I read, the more I read in God's word, the more I realize these people did what they did because they desired to do what they did. They wanted to come together as the family of God. They had a deep desire to meet with the Lord through worship experience, through a pause in the life that they have to live, in the world that they have to live. I don't think it's inconceivable at all that when we walk through those doors and we come in here corporately as the body of Christ, I don't think it's inconceivable at all that we need to hit the pause button and we need to concentrate on having a moment or two with our Lord Jesus, because I'm satisfied that if we get in his presence and we respect him enough to worship him and we ask the Lord to clear our minds and our hearts of the distractions that are there, forget about what team's going to win or who's going to win the race. Forget about what I got to do tomorrow morning. Forget about what I'm going to do this afternoon. And simply concentrate and by design, have a desire to hear from our Lord. I believe that the preaching of the Word of God, that the singing of the great songs of praying intentionally, of giving from a spirit of gratefulness for all that we've been giving, I'm satisfied, my friends, that this book will defend and instruct us in every one of those processes, and that each one of those will be seen by our Heavenly Father as an act of worship. And he tells us to do that freely. He tells us to do that joyfully. He tells us to do that expectantly. So as I begin to and continue to study with a lot of help from this book, taking me back into the Word of God, I want to share with you in a timely manner here four principles that are applied to how we use our music and worship. And there will be others in the weeks to come about the other topics. First of all, we're told in the Word of God to walk in wisdom. I mean, I think it's very, very clear. That's what the verse I just read for you a minute ago. Seeking wisdom, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and expecting something. I believe that wisdom is required to know how to communicate worship to multiple generations of people, to teenagers, to seniors, to middle agers. I believe that we're facing different cultures and different ethnic groups. And the challenge that we have is, how can I do this so that everyone is blessed in a way and they'll want to come back and do this again? And the best thing I can say to you is, I pray for wisdom. And I pray for discernment. Lord, help us to know what to do, to know how to do it, so that if you're 10 or you're 90, when you step foot in this building, you have the opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth, with the promise that you will not leave here the same. Blaine, Janice, I'm going to pick on y'all for just a moment here. Not going to really pick on you. It's going to use you for an example. Y'all just got back from 10 days of Holy Land. Will you ever see this book the same? And why is that? Because you experienced something that you've never experienced before in your life. God opened up your eyes and your heart and your mind to maybe scriptures that you've never even thought that way, because you were there and you saw it. That's what worship is like, my friends. Worship is an active process. It's not a passive process. So many folks come to church and they expect somebody else to create a worship experience for them, and if it's acceptable, then they'll stay and maybe they'll come back. But this isn't about what somebody else does. Worship is about what you do with your Heavenly Father. The second principle here is to be filled with the Spirit. Worship and the love for worship only come to you and I when we continue to fall deeper in love with our Lord. When I read that statement, I thought, boy, that's pointed. You know, Paul emphasizes here that we should be, you know, so filled with the Spirit of God that worship doesn't become a something that we just do every now and then, that worship becomes a lifestyle, that, you know, just as people are controlled by strong drink, is what he used in the verses before, in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. He's talking about our worship being filled with the Spirit of God, that we come in here being controlled by the Spirit of God, that we come in here with a great expectation to meet with our Heavenly Father. And the good thing about all this is he will be here by promise, and he will meet you and I no matter what kind of burden we drag through the door back there, no matter what kind of things that cause us to maybe miss out on the process of having worship. The Lord is encouraging in us, pray for wisdom that you might make the right choices, but pray for the Spirit of God. Ask the Spirit of God to control you. Lord, give me a 15, 20 minutes. Give me an hour in my worship experience here. Lord, I want to meet with you. Spirit of God, take the Word of God, make it real to me. Heavenly Father, I'm not afraid of conviction. I desire confirmation as well. But Lord, I'm not afraid of conviction. Speak to me up close and personal. That's my prayer before I preach, just as simple as it gets. Lord, speak to me and speak through me. I want God to speak to Kenny. It's so much more than me speaking to you. If my voice is the only voice that you heard today when you got here and when you leave, you got cheated. Because, see, I'm not the Heavenly Father. Yes, I want to represent His Word. Yes, I want to give it to you clearly and as meaningfully as I know how. But the ultimate worship experience is when I come and I ask God to let me lay down the frustrations and the problems of the world. Let me spend a few intentional minutes with you. And God, my expectation is I trust your promises. If I will come here looking for that experience, you'll give that to me because you promised to do your part. That's why this becomes so incredibly important. I've heard people say, well, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. That's not the point. If you have the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to want to be here. You're going to want to have that corporate experience. The third thing is to sing and make sure, you know, make the music unto the Lord. He is our audience. You know, our private and our public songs of praise, even our songs of testimony, must always be unto the Lord. That's the only reason Kenny sings out loud. I'm just serious with you. That's the only reason I sing out loud, Mark, is because I know that my singing is unto the Lord. You get where I'm coming from, Lacey? I know you do. I know you get it. I'm sure the Pope folks here do too. But see, I'm not concerned, unless you're sitting really close to me, I'm not concerned what you're hearing because my singing is unto the Lord. I should probably be concerned of what you're hearing as a matter of appreciation. But you sing from your heart because there's an overflow there that needs to get out. And privately we sing, and I'm happier privately because nobody hears me. But corporately we sing together because that which is in here needs an expression and it needs to get out. And when the Spirit of God fills us up, He fills us to a point of overflowing where it must come out. And because it's unto Him, I know it's acceptable. And that makes all the difference in the world. If you sing special music, and many of you do, never, ever, 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 ever forget that your singing is unto the Lord. And He smiles every time you use that gift. It's not about perfection and hitting all the notes and finishing all the words and being on time. It's about, what is this overflow that's coming out of you? And the fourth thing is give thanks in everything. Boy, how hard is that? Lord, it's Monday morning and I got 14 yards to mow and I start my day with a flat tire. Thank you. Just get real, okay? It's one of them 42-degree days and the wind's blowing 30 miles an hour and my 12-year-old Dixie Chopper just does not want to start. Been there, done that. And you can fill in the blanks in your own life. And sometimes the distractions steal from us those moments of thankfulness that help balance out the load that we carry. This experience is supposed to be pause from the frustrations of the world. It's supposed to be pause from the distractions that the enemy puts on you and I, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment as well. Walk in wisdom. Ask God to help you understand what it is we're doing and why. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Ask the Spirit of God, Lord, this is about you. I need you to fill me so that this expression comes from my heart unto you. It's all unto you. You are our audience. We worship you. It's about you. And it can't be about me. And Lord, I'm going to thank you for everything. James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, because the working of your faith brings about, and the word is patience in the King James, a word is equally as good as endurance. We have to know that the Lord Jesus has something good in store for us in order to thank him for the things that are unpleasant to us. In order to say thank you, this is not nearly as much fun as I wanted it to be. I'm not really enjoying myself. But Lord, I also know that you promised that you work all things together for good for those who love you and who are called according to your purpose, Romans 8:28. So it comes down to, do I believe him or do I believe how I feel? Am I going to trust him that he knows what he's talking about, or will I use my own wisdom and I will use my own discernment and I will use my own attitude and opinion? I don't like this. It's not a whole lot of fun. But like your song said, Randy, I'm going to look unto the Lord because you're the one who's going to take care of me in this process. So those are four very, very invaluable principles when we talk about music and worship and how we should be thinking about that. And in the middle of this book, he really hit it on the head. He says, take heed. In the middle of this goodness, in the middle of this wonderful experience that you call worship, he said, make sure that you pay close attention that when any congregation, and that's any congregation of any size, anywhere on the planet, no matter where you are, when a congregation turns their hearts to singing and making melody unto the Lord, because he is worthy and they have the privilege and they have the joy that comes in the experience with thanksgiving, make sure that you know, and you do these things unto the Lord, that Satan will always, always, always attack, and he will seek to hinder our worship. Know that. I don't have to like it. You come here with a serious desire to hear from the Lord, that old hip might start hurting you to the point where you just can't hardly stand it. Or something else. Or something else comes into your mind that you can't shake thinking about that and stop long enough to have a real worship experience. In Vernon Whaley's book on page 92, he expresses this better than I can express it to you, so I'm going to read it for you word for word. It's not very long. Take heed, church, Satan will always attack and endeavor to hinder God's work. Anytime a congregation turns their hearts to the Lord, singing and making melody with thanksgiving unto that Lord, there has been and will always be conflict when music and worship focus on praise. When this happens, be careful not to allow music to become the issue. Praise and worship is the Christian's only weapon for which Satan does not have a counterfeit. That's gold. I want to read it for you again. Praise and worship is the Christian's only weapon for which Satan does not have a counterfeit. When you and I get lost, for lack of a better word, in a praise time unto our Lord, Satan has nothing to overcome that. But if we are conflicted and our minds are somewhere else, he has plenty of opportunity. He goes on to say, Satan often robs us of the joy found only in genuine worship of Jehovah by causing us to lose focus on what is really important. The evil one is anxious to capture our motives and ambitions and blur our vision so that we no longer are controlled by the Holy Spirit, but rather by selfishness, envy, anger, greed, and ego. Our love for God and worship of him as sovereign should be the creative power behind our songs. It is when we make musical styles, melody, rhythms, harmonies, performance practices, use of equipment, and even cultural identification the primary gauge for appropriate worship that Satan succeeds in blurring our focus of real worship. We will always find ourselves consumed with controversy if we use music as the test for good and proper worship. Boy, that is pointed. In other words, I have to be very careful. So if I'm going to pray for wisdom, and I'm going to genuinely pray for wisdom, God is going to stick it in my ear that this is about me, Kenny. It's not about you. So now all of a sudden, your personal preferences take a distant second, because your worship comes from inside of you. And if there's nothing inside of you to worship me with, then you won't have a worship experience. And I know that's pointed. This has been rocking my world just a little bit, because I don't mind telling you that I'm learning some things brand new about the power of worship and the necessity of worship in the heart of the Christian. We have to be very careful that this does not become ritual, because we've been used to going to church on Sunday morning most of our life. That doesn't make this a worship experience when we show up. I can go sit in the parking lot of McDonald's and starve to death. I can go inside of McDonald's and take the closest seat to the counter where the food is, and I can still starve to death. I can sit at the gas station with the truck empty of gas, and I can sit there day and night until I literally die in the seat of my truck and never get any gas put in my vehicle. So it comes down to personal responsibility and personal expectations. Did I come here this morning as your pastor? Did I come here this morning with a desire to meet my Lord up close and personal so that he might either confirm me or comfort me, or the Holy Spirit might do that conviction in me? Did I come here knowing that, yeah, I have a responsibility to teach a Sunday school class. I have a responsibility to bring a message to a 10:45 church service. But is it more than that? It has to be more than that. I have to want to meet with my Lord. I want to have to feel the power of the Word of God. I want to sing the great songs of the faith, and I want the theology there to move me so that I understand how awesome our God is and how worthy he is of our worship. And I can't keep it, you know, continuing to go back to that. Book goes on to say that through the centuries, there's always been concern and at times even alarm in the use of music and worship. And he gives a bunch of examples here. Even Paul was concerned enough to write about it. He loved those churches. He founded many of those churches, but he was concerned that the way they sang would be misunderstood or misrepresented, that the purpose and the use of those songs might be misunderstood or misrepresented. So he just speaks very clearly to them. You know, sing and make melody in your heart unto the Lord, and do this with great thankfulness. There's a mentality that's expected there. There's an attitude that God wants us to do this with. This is something that we get to do. I've said that many times before. It's something that we get to do, not something that we have to do. For years, I woke up and said, oh, geez, it's Sunday. I got to go to church. And I went home with nothing but the frustration of having to go. Early on in my life, because I was made to. Later on in my life, because I thought it was my duty. But now, I get to go. I get to do this with you. And we get to do this unto him. And if I'm reading my Bible right, every one of you who is having a genuine worship experience and who have had a genuine worship experience this morning, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father and he's smiling because you and I understood what it meant when he said we're to worship him in spirit and in truth. He's to be elevated. He's to be lifted up. He's to be praised and worshiped. He's to be prayed to and sung about and given to. And when we get to do these things, everything is important. Martin Luther, as great as he was criticized by the clergy because he felt like it was important to promote and practice the use of congregational singing. The battles that we're experiencing today in the 21st century, my friend, they've been around a long time. Make no mistake. The Wesley brothers, as invaluable as they were in contributions over the years, they were criticized because they taught doctrine through their music. Go figure. So intense was the criticism of Fanny Crosby and Ira Sankey's use of popular music styles when they were writing that they were forced to use assumed names so they could get their music published. Folks, you know, the devil's going to do every single thing he knows how to do to distract from you and I the opportunity to have a real worship experience. Because if you meet Jesus here today, you'll walk out them glass doors different. Amen. And I'm not talking about a salvation experience. I mean, that would be the number one thing. If you're lost today, the greatest thing you'll ever do is receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then most of this will begin to make greater sense to you. But as believers, if we came here today expecting to hear from our Lord through whatever medium we're using to get that out there, if we did hear from him, we will walk out those doors and our life today will be different and it will be better. Paul knew that. And that's what he's talking to this church about. Sing, making melody in your heart because you get to, unto the Lord because he deserves it, and be thankful for every privilege and every opportunity that you get. Pray for wisdom and pray for guidance and pray for discernment, and make a pause in your life so that you can do that, because God will speak to you here in ways that he won't speak to you out there. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the habit of some is, Hebrews 10, chapter 24, or chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Because we're here to encourage one another to greater faith. If I'm not here, I can't encourage you. If you're not here, I can't encourage you. Most of what we sing is upbeat, it's positive, it's meaningful, it is. Most of the hymns, if not all of the hymns, have wonderful, great theology in them. Some of the things that we're singing now has great praise unto the Lord, unto them. All of those things are needed and necessary. And with the right work and the right balance, God, I believe, smiles. Without exception, the style of music appropriate for worship in some places has literally become an issue. Many people have expounded on the evils of modern Christian music and how the rhythms were of Satan, representing an ungodly culture and unacceptable for believers seeking to be obedient, separated from this world, and holy in all things. And I look back and I wonder what the Lord must have thought as David sung and danced naked in his presence. And I believe that in some ways, folks, we've missed the point. Satan has succeeded in blurring our vision. You know, the issue is not modern or traditional. The Bible does not give us instructions on how rhythm, harmony, melody, form, and tempo need to be used in music. But yet, we sometimes find a way to make that an issue. God's much more interested in whether or not you and I worship with sincerity and that we live consistently, so that we don't get sidetracked in the controversy that the devil would love to set up. In so doing, I believe that our communication of worship, our expression of praise, our testimony of adoration will naturally take on some kind of melodic, rhythmic form and some kind of harmonic characteristic that God can use for his glory and for our growth. Diane and I and Mark and Sandra and a friend of ours named Judy Jacobs, we had the privilege to go to the Gaither concert at Indian Rocks Baptist Church last night. There was hardly room to stand, and this place is massive, probably 5,000 in there or more. We heard a dozen different styles of music last night, from so slow it was really easy for old people like me to keep up with it, to so fast that it was not easy for old people like me to keep up with it. But you sensed that many, if not all, of those people who came into that building, a lot of folks want to call them concerts. They're not concerts, are they, Lacey? They're worship services. And it's awesome to sit there and put pause, time out, on everything that you brought that would prevent you from having a worship experience. I want us, as Lena Vista Baptist Church, I want us, probably more than you know or more than I can express, I want us to have a real worship experience every time we get to do this. But as much, if not more, I want that worship experience to be biblical. Not my attitude or my opinion, not your attitude or your opinion, but his opinion. because after all, it is his church. So that becomes very, very important. And I want to close with an illustration that kind of blew me away when I read it, especially because of the time that was involved in it. The writer of this book says, I read about a group of clergy who met at a Christian college in the northern part of Michigan to discuss the appropriate use of instruments in worship. Many felt the instruments were loud, distracting, and in general a hindrance to the work of the kingdom. One brother voiced concern and a lack of biblical support for the use of any instrument other than the organ in the worship of a majestic and a holy God. Another pastor stood and gave an extended dissertation of the evils of using instruments associated with the barroom. How in the world could God be pleased with such a carnal instrument as a piano? He asked. At one point, a rather divisive and intense moment erupted. In response, a brother called to the group back to order, and he asked for a show of hands of those who were willing to go back to their churches and discipline any member who actively engaged in playing saxophones or trumpets in the church service. Another brother, the pastor of a large and well-established congregation, stood and lamented the passing of the old hymns and spiritual songs. He expressed concern over the perceived lack of respect by a younger, less spiritual group of pastors. He reminded the congregation of God's gift of heritage. Others made persuasive arguments for Christian liberty and tolerance. Some told of how God was working in their midst and reminded everyone to be engaged in a spiritual ministry. A compelling speech by an older pastor dealt with changes taking place in America and how the assembly should meet people at their point of greatest need. He concluded that his speech by making the plea for unity and oneness in ministry. The group spent considerable time talking about worship and how the body of Christ across the country struggles with the idea of any kind of change. During the course of their meetings to discuss music practices appropriate for worship, people argued. Some stormed out of the meeting with fury, showing obvious hostility and resentment toward those in authority. Harsh and angry words were spoken by many. The meeting on music and worship was characterized by hurt feelings, harsh and angry words, divisive attitudes, and spiritual casualties. And this is what got me. This historic meeting convened in the fall of 1870. Don't you think for a moment that Satan hasn't been at work trying to divide us and every other congregation who has a desire to sing melodious and thankful hymns and songs unto our Lord. For 3 days at a small Christian college, sincere pastors and influential men argued about worship. Not once in the recorded minutes is there any indication that these men ever engaged in any form of worship. And I really wonder how much worship, how much singing to the Lord, and how much offering of praise really took place during those 3 days. The brothers meeting at that college in Michigan were concerned about the need to preserve hymn singing and their wonderful heritage. May I suggest that heritage for heritage's sake will not ensure the blessings of the past any more than tradition for tradition's sake. These brothers lost their focus on worship. And my friends, that becomes my concern as well. To a God who is intimately worthy of our praise, should not we send up that praise from a heart overflowing of thankfulness for who he is, what he does, and what he has done for us, and that we would give him the excess of our hearts in love and appreciation? That has to do with singing, giving, praying, and preaching. And that's the things that I want to share and want to continue to share. Like I've said so many times before, hear my heart. This is not a cheap shot at anybody. I absolutely refuse to grind an axe from the pulpit. You will never hear that from me. It's wrong. It is of Satan. And it is not productive. So what you hear from me here, if the Holy Spirit makes that real to you and it becomes a level of conviction for you, you take that up with him. I will never belittle you, talk down to you. I will never grind an axe from the pulpit. But I will love you with the truth. And the rest of it's up to you. Maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord that we've been talking about. Maybe he's not somebody that's in your life for whatever reason. Maybe you've never stopped for a minute to consider that Jesus Christ gave his life for you so that you might live and have a home in heaven when you're done here. You can do that today. You can give him your life. You'll find a reason then to praise him and worship him. Maybe you're here today and you've been looking at this church for a while. Go ahead. Just go ahead and put a ring on it, okay? Yeah. Stop dating the church and just go ahead and marry us. Come on down here and let's take you as a member. We'd love to have you. Maybe for whatever reason the fire's going out in your life and you forgot how to worship because every time you show up here you're distracted with something else. Maybe you just need to take a few minutes and ask God to help you through this. Pray for wisdom. Whatever your need, whatever your desire, whatever choice you need to make today, my prayer is that you'll make it and that you'll make it unto him. Stand with me as we pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We appreciate you. God, please honor your word today. And thank you for everything you are and do in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?
Hymn number 312.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is
Charlene will be in the back. She has a year-end tithe tax form if you want it, so Charlene will be in the back.
Don't forget, go home and convince your taste buds that they really want soup. And come here at 4 o'clock in the fellowship hall. You bring your soup and your bread. If you want to make your own soup, that's even great. I'm sure Sue will have no problem with that. We will have a wonderful, sweet time of food and fellowship as a family of God. Love you guys. Thank you so much.
I just want to remind the quartet, we have quartet practice at 6 o'clock on Thursday. David, will you dismiss us, please?